Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Take us with you with the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
I'll do anything you want me to.
Download it and listen live to Boston's home for sports. It's T&R.
I heard you like to party.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Tucker and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode.
Just because you've never been hit in the head with a puck doesn't mean you can't sound like you've been hit in the head with a puck.
Twins are for kids.
It's the Tutcher and Rich Drunken Bruins Recap.
It's a squid.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Tutcher and Rich. One set, and then we'll get over. But one sad thing, one thing I'll agree about with the Trump meal for Clemson was, like, you had packaged salads. Like, you couldn't, like, make a salad.
The stacks of salads in the plastic boxes.
Like, no one eats those.
And what was great was, like, the wives of the coaches came in, and they're, like, looking down, and they go to the salad. You just see them kind of take their hands away, keep walking, just like, I don't know.
Like, you could have put salads in place. That you could have done.
Yeah, you could have. By the way, we've been told, Ninkovich tells us that it was a very eloquent serving trays. That same huge table, but with flowers and presidential plates and napkins. Very different than the plate of many, many fries.
Many, many French fries.
So, oh, boy.
No, by the way, Carol Channing is dead.
No!
Oh. But if you, who would have thought Carol Channing?
How old? I'll say 95.
97.
Oh. Wow.
Carol Channing. Yeah. Was she on Putting on the Hits?
Putting on the Hits was Christopher Atkins, right?
Or was that the one where they judged him and, like, Madam was on it?
Oh, no. That was...
Solid Gold?
Solid Gold. Yeah, that was Solid Gold.
Okay, that was Solid Gold. What did they rate there? The lip sync?
Putting on the Hits was lip sync. That was a lip sync competition. And Solid Gold was... Every once in a while, like, Quarter Flash would show up and do a song.
Quarter Flash? Yeah, they would lip...
Harden My Heart?
Yes.
Of Harden My Heart fame?
Wow.
All right.
Nick was out at the big Bruins game last night. And he met one particular person who had many, many fries.
How many fries?
Many, many French fries.
I don't know why I think that's so funny.
Because you don't have to tell people you have many fries. If you have fries, hopefully there's many.
Yeah, no. That's...
No, just it's like, he's like 200 hamburgers.
Because you can hear the smile in his voice.
Many, many fries. He's like LeVar Ball.
More fries than I...
200 hamburgers, many, many fries.
We have pizzas, we have 300 hamburgers.
Many, many, many fries.
Many, many French fries.
All right. Well, it's the White House. They can't just be fries. It has to be French fries.
Yeah, right.
More than anyone else. More than any other president, any other leader. All the fries.
That's a big order. That is a big order. All right. Nick was out at the big game last night. The Bruins outplayed the Canadiens quite a bit, but they did get the point. And here's who we met.
Can we use this for the radio?
Of course.
Talk to me about tonight's game.
My buddy John's birthday tonight.
Happy birthday.
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate that.
All right. Real quick, I got to ask you something. What sweatshirt are you wearing?
The Denny Company. They'll be at Gillette June 22nd, the 21st, my homie's birthday. Be there. Be square.
Ew. The Denny Company.
I know you're not a fan. I know you're not a fan of the Grateful Dead.
I used to know John Mayer, too.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. We both did.
Be there or be square. All right there, Potsy. Be there a bit. And you know, while you're at it, if you're not there, sit on it. What the hell did sit on it even mean?
Someone
spray painted in the bathroom. Sit on it.
What
makes you like the Dead?
Because it's actually music.
It's what?
It's music.
Music never...
They have to actually tell you that what you're hearing is indeed music.
Why? So you like everything, do you? Oh, I like music. You know what I really enjoy are the Wiggles. On the account it's music. It's a typical Dead & Company fan. Why do you like it? I don't know. It's sitting there.
It's music. See, I thought it was diarrhea.
Well... Well, listen, everyone defines art in a different way.
I don't even hate the Grateful Dead. I just, some of the people like the Dead annoy me.
Yeah, all of them.
I know you loathe them.
Yeah. There are kids at my high school that were like total badasses, and now they're like,
do Jerry. He had the words you needed to hear.
Do Jerry. It's like, I remember when you carried a gun. All right. Yeah, I'm not lying.
What makes you like the Dead?
Because it's actually music.
It's what?
It's music.
Music never stops.
It's the music. Why don't Grateful Dead, why do Deadheads not play musical chairs?
Why is that?
Because the music never stops, man.
All right. You know why the music...
Because the music never stops, man.
You know why the music doesn't stop? Because whenever anyone dies, they just put some schmuck in there and they don't care.
Right now, Bill Walton is slowly taking off his shirt.
The music never dies. No kidding. The leader of the band died, and they popped in some teen star and said, here. The music's never going to die. They're just going to have a bunch of idiots going out and saying they're the Grateful Dead. Who likes this? This is like when you go to the library and there's like something going on in one of the rooms.
Or like your kids watching Sesame Street in the other room. It's like...
Well, that's the thing. It's like there's like five senior citizens in there like slumped in chairs because this is their big cultural outing. Like, if they play this live, what do you do? What is that instrument?
That's the flute, ladies
and gentlemen. Is that a flute?
Yeah, it is.
Imagine walking into practice goes, guys, I got an idea for a song. Guys, ready? All right, sit back. Slowly unlocks his case.
Guess what I've been
takes out the
with.
Flute, lifts the eyebrows a few times, and...
That's it! That's the sound. Man, Pigpen, if he was only here to see this, man.
Pigpen
used to play piano for him. And then he died and they just said, who cares? I just see them on acid just bumping into each other and like just walking around and it's just it's clanging.
Like they're in a mental corn maze.
Yes. Yeah, like it's Nicholson in chief walking around the insane asylum.
This is the sound you hear when your brain is popped.
Yeah, this was in Chief's head the entire... This was in Danny DeVito's head the entire One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
And this is what was in Nicholson's head. Time to take your medicine, Nurse Ratchet.
How is this allowed to be put... If you're the label, what are you saying?
You just go, is this a joke?
All right, so you guys don't sell records. Big deal. All right, it's the weekly game of it. Will Brinson answer the phone? And we will play that for you.
By the way, we have a tweet that just went out from the President of the United States. Great being with the national champion Clemson Tigers last night at the White House. Because of the shutdown, I served them massive amounts of fast food. I paid over 1,000 hamburgers, etc.
Wait. 1,000?
He just said it was 200.
Yeah.
The pizzas, we have 300 hamburgers. Oh, 300.
Now it's 1,000.
Biggest crowd in the history to watch an inauguration.
More burgers than any president. Yes. Within 1 hour, it was all gone.
More burgers than any president?
Great guys and big eaters. I added that line. Great guys, big eaters.
Wait. Why would he tweet out that they finished the food?
Because he didn't want to get busted that he actually
so
took some
awesome
home, that he took some up to the room.
He struck the right chord for the room, Fred. Right. Clearly, he hit a home run.
Like, why the need to share that information?
Milani looks like they ate all of it. Looks like it's all gone. And up in his room, he's got like a Santa Claus sack. He's taken up there.
Just, it's such an odd thing to tweet out.
Just like how much, he's like, I served him massive amounts of fast food.
Many French fries.
There were definitely, I mean.
Many French fries.
Maybe it was the ghost of Jerry Garcia came in there. That's the missing hamburgers. He haunts the White House.
The ghost of Jerry Garcia.
Yeah. He haunts the White House. He just goes in and he got very excited. There's something paranormal going on.
There's the sound of him.
Sounds like spoiled sausage and dirt.
What a shame we lost this talent. All right. Will Brinson will be back with us.
Many French fries.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, the Sports Hub.
Driving his way into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Wow. This kid has been special through two quarters.
98.5 Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Again, our Will Brinson weekly interview. He's not answering the phone, which happens all the time. Nonetheless, so yesterday I was consumed with Adam Gase, the new coach of the New York Jets. The articles that came out after the press conference were the world's shortest honeymoon. This is a worse honeymoon than if someone took their wife to a Denny's after a lunchtime meeting of the Justice of the Peace. People are saying just terrible things about Adam Gase. If you didn't see it, it was super weird.
I mean, truly weird and uncomfortable because the weirdness didn't stop. He sits down, and Adam Gase does this, his eyes as big as saucers, and he doesn't blink.
And he's, like, moving his head around.
And he rolls, like, his head's kind of going all around in a circle, and then his eyes are rolling all over the place, too. And it looks like the dude's hopped up, but it is just spooky as anything every time. Someone compared him to Gritty, the mascot for the Flyers, and Crazy Eyes Johnson, whatever the guy's name was, from the movie Mr.
Steve Buscemi's character.
Yeah. I mean, it was just awkward to look at.
Yeah, it looked like Stevie Wonder on DMT. Like, he was just moving his head around.
Right. As far as the head shake with Stevie Wonder, right. Like, he was doing the same thing. He was moving, like, he was hearing music. It was very unsettling.
And as a Jet follower, Fred, this is shaking your confidence in the hire.
It's not great. I mean, you know, he's going to be in some high-pressure situations.
Mm-hmm. But he's going to have a hat on. His eyes are going to be fine.
Well, that's the thing, is that they went back, and we have Will Brinson on the phone. We'll get to him one second. But they went back to the archives, and I guess when he was with the Bears, he didn't do it. But then when he was with the Dolphins, he did it in press conferences, but you couldn't tell because he would wear a hat that sort of covered up the whole situation.
And he wore sunglasses in Miami for a little while, didn't he? I'm sure not at the end game or, you know, at the podium or anything.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I'm sure he did occasionally. Will Brinson is senior writer for CBSSports.com, and you can catch Will on the Pick 6 podcast, available on CBSSports.com and iTunes. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Brinson.
What's up, guys? Just hanging out, eating some amphetamines, trying to act like Adam Gase. I mean, I don't know what, you know, it was interesting. There's a couple theories about that. All the Miami beat writers are like, it's not unusual. That's just what he does. It's like, okay, first of all, if that's what he does, it's still unusual. That doesn't mean just because he does it, it's not weird. But like, they basically were trying to suggest that was his brain contorting his face and body in a way so that he wouldn't say the things that are on his mind. Like, he was, like, trying to be polite, and his brain was, like revolting against the idea of being nice and being proper in the press conference.
Let's play poker immediately, Adam Gase. It's the world's biggest tell.
Yeah, he's like... Now, the other theory that I kind of thought of, you mentioned, you know, he didn't do it in Chicago, or and he didn't start doing it to Miami. What if he like just picked up that habit from Jay Cutler?
Oh, he's just too much time with Jay Cutler. It's got him.
Yeah, and as a result, he's just like, oh, cannot believe I'm here.
Yeah,
to be the coach of the Jets.
It's. I mean, they're already insulting him, and he's been officially the coach for how long? I mean, I couldn't stop reading about it yesterday. I just couldn't stop.
It was on my TV, and I had friends, you know, who aren't, like, you know, in the NFL media texting me. They're like, dude, what is wrong with Adam Gase? Like, what is going on? I was like, are you watching? They're like, yeah, this is insane. What is he doing? What are these faces he making? And I don't know. It looked like he chugged 4 quad venti lattes and then shotgun a Red Bull and then had to go sit on stage in a tie and talk to a bunch of people who had weird questions about his offense in Miami.
Yeah, and who are now he's going to have to talk to more than a couple times a week in the fall. All right, Will, so you like the Chargers. There's nothing wrong with getting a pick wrong. If you didn't, then you wouldn't need to talk to us. But what'd they do? And you're watching, and you're very familiar with the Chargers. Yeah. What was going on, and why didn't they kind of evolve their game plan as the game went on? What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest question. And, I mean, I thought that this weekend, this divisional weekend, and I went a big fat 0-4 on my picks against the spread. Just fine. It happens again. Like, I'd be out in Vegas hanging out if I could get 4-0 every weekend. But coaching matters a lot. Coaching matters. And I think we all, I mean, at least I know I did. I got caught up in, like the wild card fever. Like, these teams are going to come in and make some noise. We're finally not going to see chalk going on. And to the Chargers specifically, you know, they came in with this, you know, they said, all right, we're going to come in and play 7 defensive backs and we're going to play zone. And Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels said, that's sweet. We're going to line up Gronk on the inside. We've got rested offensive linemen and we're going to pound the ball down your friggin' throat. And on third downs, since you're playing that zone, we're just going to let Julian Edelman run free. And it was very apparent in the first series when Belichick decided to receive, an unusual tactic for him. But it was obvious that he wanted to wear that defense out, remind them that it was 20 degrees, that they were on their third straight road game, that it was 10 o'clock on their body time, and go for, you know, they went 14 plays, 7 minutes and a touchdown. And it was a soul-sucking drive. And the Chargers declined to make any adjustments in playing that zone in the first half. Didn't bother making any real adjustments in the second half. I think a stat I saw on SportsCenter with Scott Van Pelt on Sunday night was Brady went 20 of 24 for 216 yards and a touchdown in the first half against the 7 defensive back formation. Maybe do something, Gus Bradley. Mm-hmm. Anything. I mean, whether it's put 7 defensive linemen on the field and just play, I don't know. And then, you know, it was apparent too on offense that the Chargers didn't have any interest in they weren't even playing checkers. It would be an insult to checkers players in my child to say that they were playing checkers. Belichick sent the cover 0, blitzed everybody repeatedly at Phillip Rivers, and at no point did the Chargers try and mitigate that blitz by having some sort of, you know, a screen pass or quick hitters or anything to try and get the pressure off and make life easier for Phillip Rivers. Tom Brady threw 1 ball 20 yards or more down the field on Sunday, and Phillip Rivers threw 9. I don't know what the Chargers were thinking in their game. And they have a 37-year-old quarterback who's seen everything. This is the whole point of the Chargers winning, is that Phillip Rivers wasn't going to get just completely pantsed by Belichick and Brian Flores. And all around, the Chargers just got outcoached and really, you know, after the first couple of series, didn't look like they wanted to be there.
All right, so I keep waiting for Patrick Mahomes to wilt in the moment. You know, for him being such a young guy, you see it with almost every first-year quarterback who ends up getting some sort of success. And last week, I almost feel that it wasn't a fair I guess, assessment of who he is, because the Colts just crapped themselves. I mean, there were so many different situations where they blew it.
But then you would have to make the argument, Rich, that the same thing is true with San Diego.
No. I think it's different because they came out with a scheme that completely mismatched what they had. It wasn't that there were 10 men on the field. It wasn't that they were making, like, poor decisions. It was
Chargers did that, too, on the Patriots' first touchdown.
They did. That's right. They did have 10 men.
They had 10 men.
They also had to lay a game.
But here's the difference. We've seen Brady do exactly what he did a million times before. Mahomes, this is all new as far as the playoffs is concerned. So how did you feel from watching that Colts game? Did you learn anything about Mahomes or that offense as far as them in the spotlight?
Well, I thought it was, again, I go back to the coaching thing. I thought that it was stupid on my part to pick the Colts because we have a better quarterback and a better coach in, in Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid against Andrew Luck and Frank Reich. Quarterback with arm issues going into weather he hadn't seen since 2014, and a coach who's coaching in the playoffs for the first time and decided for whatever reason to continue establishing the run with like 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter. It was very bizarre. The Colts didn't feel prepared for what unfolded. Like, there was the Tyson line that everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth.
Sure.
The Colts weren't ready to adjust. It was wild. They just thought they were going to go in there and out-physical the Chiefs and slow the Chiefs' offense down and everything would be fine. And that was not the case at all. I thought that it was a really nice win for Patrick Mahomes because he got to go out there in a game where the weather was so bad that he didn't need to be perfect. Nobody was expecting perfection from him. He didn't look nervous early on. I thought he settled in really well and operated the Chiefs offense as needed. I also think that this is a great game for Andy Reid because he didn't have to pull out a bag of tricks and win a close one and sweat the timeout stuff. He's got everything left in his bag. Like Sean Payton had to pull out the fake punt, early in the first quarter or the second quarter against the Eagles. Andy Reid got to keep everything, stuffed away for this coming week. And then, hopefully for him, 2 weeks after that, I do think that, Mahomes getting the jitters out in for the first playoff start in a game that they won easily is a big plus.
Yeah.
I don't think that, like, what they did against the Chargers and Phillip Rivers on offense, on defense, the Patriots, is going to work against Patrick Mahomes. I mean, if you do that, Andy Reid will throw 40 screens to Damian Williams, and they'll run Tyreek Hill on little crosser routes across the middle and just have Mahomes do quick step drops and then flick it to Patrick or flick it to Tyreek Hill and let him take off. I think that the weapons and the coaching on offense for the Chiefs would overcome any like I don't know what the Patriots will do defensively against Patrick Mahomes, and I don't know that. I'm sure Bill Belichick knows now or has an idea right now as of Tuesday morning, but I don't think you know exactly how to stop that offense because of the different, the variety of weapons and the way that Patrick Mahomes plays. I do think the weather probably could eventually, would play into the Patriots' hands, but that's what we said about the Colts too.
Why would it play into the Patriots' hands?
Well, in theory, if you have an Arctic blast hovering over Kansas City and it's 5 degrees, you would prefer to be the power run team, right? And I think that it would make passing a little more difficult. I think the Patriots have no interest. And I think this bears it out when you look at their record in conference championship games recently. It's 1-3 to the over is 1-3 in those games in the last 4 or 5 years. They like to sort of turn this into a grind session. And I don't think they want to get involved in a shootout in Arrowhead against Patrick Mahomes. As good as the Patriots looked against the Chargers, I did think Brady's deep ball passes were not spectacular.
Yeah. And they haven't been forever. Yeah.
Right. And I don't think Tom Brady wants to be down 14 in the third quarter, having to, potentially throw it deep to try and catch up. And not that, he might just dink and dunk his way anyway, but getting involved in a shootout with the Chiefs is not what they want. I think they want to run. They would love 25 carries, 125 yards, and 2 touchdowns from Sony Michel, because that means they lined up, ran the ball straight down the Chiefs' throat, and then kept Patrick Mahomes off the field and sort of forced the Chiefs into that fluster, hurry-up mode. That's where they want the game to be, I believe.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier, and Rob Ninkovich, who was listening, actually said the passing game, with it being as cold as it is, the passing game won't be as explosive, routes won't be as crisp, and the top speed, especially for a guy like Hill, is going to be slower. He said then it turns into an old-school running game. Pats roll them if that's the situation, as you were saying.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't
nice last
Saturday. I mean, it was bad last Saturday.
It was cold and snow.
Yeah,
but look, the running game won. You know, I mean, it was because they were able to rely on Sony Michel. A guy had three touchdowns.
No. I'm talking about in Kansas City.
Oh, okay.
Last Saturday. Yeah, there was.
I mean, that was more about, I mean, that was more like, did you, I don't know if you guys watched it. I mean, yeah. Andrew Luck looked like preseason Andrew Luck. He couldn't complete a pass 5 yards down the field. And again, like, it goes back to, you know, I'm a stupid face. It's like, oh, you know, Andrew Luck and the Colts, it's cold outside, they'll be fine. It's like, why are they fine? It's like, just because they have big Quentin Nelson, I'm like, ah, they'll be great. Andrew Luck literally had not played in a game where the temperature was below 30 degrees since the 2015 playoffs or like just January 2015 or late 2014. I mean, he doesn't see this very often, and he was clearly affected by the weather, and Patrick Mahomes wasn't. So I think, I mean, in terms of the weather, like, If you got to throw in that weather, it's a nightmare for Brady. It's not great for Patrick Mahomes, but I think Patrick Mahomes will win the throwing battle in that weather. But the Patriots clearly win the schematic battle in that weather because they have the better running game and they can line up Gronk and you know, stack the inside and just run it down the Chiefs' throat. And as good as the Chiefs were against the Colts' run, they have been terrible against the run all year.
Yeah. But the part about slowing down Tyreek Hill, if it slows him down, it's slowing everyone else down. Tyreek Hill's going to be the fastest guy on that field no matter what's going on. I don't care if it's a hurricane. All right, so Will Brinson, and enjoy this weekend, and if the Patriots win, we'll see you in Atlanta.
All right. Look forward to it, guys. That might be root for the Patriots just so I can see you guys.
Oh, yeah, hey. You. All right. Thank you, Mr. Brinson.
See you, man.
Wasn't Brinson the one you guys ducked? Both of you ducked out. It was in Houston. Both of you ducked out of the interview early to go see Tim Tebow across the room.
Yeah, Tim Tebow was like right behind us.
And then I'm sitting there with Will with the cameras on us. Hey, what's up?
Yeah, we were trying to get Fred and Tebow to, you know, make up. And
Will's like, what the hell's going on?
So, I got sort of my picture taken when I was in the vicinity of
him. Oh, it was great. You're like, who?
I mean, it's in Kansas City. I mean, the weather, I mean, it's not like Kansas City's not used to weather.
I agree. Oh, yeah. I mean, this is the one.
The weather is not the deciding factor in this game.
No, I would much rather.
But no. It could be if it's mostly a run game and less of a passing game.
I think that Mahomes can pass.
Improvisational skills, as we've seen all year long, even that out a little bit.
Yeah, it's not a blizzard. It's just cold.
I'm pretty sure Kansas City knows about drag routes and in cuts. And I'm not thinking that every pass is going deep.
Oh, yeah? You know more than Rob Ninkovich, do you?
I don't know more than Rob Ninkovich.
I have not played in the colds.
No.
In cold like that ever. So Rob Ninkovich would know more than me, but I mean, this is an Arrowhead. Let's not go crazy about the weather.
It was funny too, because Ninkovich was talking on that post-game thing that with Troy Brown about just, you know, how difficult it is to play in Arrowhead Stadium and just how unbelievably loud it is. And truly one of the best home field advantages. I mean, I would think it's that stadium and Seattle.
He was on the field the last time the Patriots played there and got their asses kicked.
Is that the last time they've been out there?
On to Cincinnati. On to Cincinnati was the last time.
I remember that. I thought they'd been out there since then, but it's not.
No. So now the cold, I mean, with the Chargers, it was flying back and forth, and now it's the cold. I mean, give me a break.
Be -5 at kickoff.
But yeah, and that's going to affect both teams.
Sure.
I mean, the Kansas City doesn't have to ram it down their throats. Like he said, they could just throw a million screen passes, get Tyreek Hill the ball in any way they can. I mean, if he's slowed down, then everyone else is slowed down, too. Here are the headlines.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
At the point now where when do you start thinking about roster changes and possibly trades in order to either A, send a message to this team that the regular season isn't nothing to screw around about, or B, do addition by subtraction. Get rid of some players that maybe you don't think are meshing or might be one of the reasons that
for some reason, these guys can't get it together in the regular season.
See, here's the thing. I mean, you can't trade a guy for pennies on the dollar, regardless of what you're trying to do.
And that's the thing.
In fact, the last thing this team needs, by the way, is another first-round pick.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that you want to win now, and if you're willing to make a move to adjust the team chemistry, you're going to have to bring someone else in.
Yeah.
So,
I mean
if you get another pick, it doesn't do you any good.
Yeah, they could have four first-round picks in the next draft. Sacramento continues to lose. I mean, that pick continues to get higher. But ultimately, here's the thing. Danny Ainge said 2 days ago or 3 days ago that he liked his roster. And that was, I guess, right before the Orlando game or right after it. I think it was right before the Orlando game, but after the Miami loss. So, I mean, these last two losses... And I still think the Orlando loss was worse than last night. But because of what you talked about, because of the disharmony on the bench, because they just flat out didn't play well in the final couple minutes of a game that they should have won blindfolded. I mean, last night was nothing new. Last night, this team will defend well, and Brad Stevens said it after the game. This team defended well for three quarters, and then in the third, they just decided not to show up. And that's the epitome of what this team has become. They'll play real well for a while and then completely disappear and collapse.
Well, I mean,
hang on real quick. This is a point that's been brought up before. 617-779-0985. Go ahead, Luke.
Hey, guys. I'm just saying we have all this talent on the team. Why isn't anyone talking about Brad Stevens? Isn't it his job as a coach to get everyone to play up to their potential?
It is.
And play above their potential?
It is. And as a matter of fact, I mean, it's getting to the point where you have to start looking at him. And you're right. He has had a free pass.
He's done that every year he's been here except for this one.
Well, he's had a free pass up to this point. And here's why. Is because he hasn't had to deal with this mix of type. I mean, before it was always young, scrappy, no one expected much. And now when you have a team with the pressure of great expectations and you have veterans and you've got guys like Kyrie Irving who is right now getting in the faces of these other guys and you got young players who are like, Kyrie, we were one game away from the finals without you last year. Who are you telling us to do what we're doing? There's attitude on the young guys. The veterans are frustrated. It's a completely different chemistry than anything that Stevens has had to deal with. Now,
well, this is the team that he was handed, and this is the team that they were waiting for. And if they don't win the East, because they were a huge favorite to win the East, if they don't win the East, then you got to start talking about Stevens.
I think if they don't make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. I think that the Raptors, nobody knew that Kawhi was going to end up being the Kawhi that he was.
It doesn't matter. This is the team that is for the long run. I mean, so what if Toronto re-signs Kawhi Leonard? Then it's just okay?
I also don't think it's the team that's here for the long run. I think that they're planning for another big trade because you hear the owners continue to talk about it. Like, they're willing to make a splash. I think that this is a team.
Well, ultimately, you know, Jason Tatum's going to grow out of his rookie contract. Jaylen Brown, if he can, improves, is going to grow out of his rookie contract. Terry Rozier is on his way out. Ultimately, this roster is going to change.
Yeah,
in the
but
next
this was
year
your, then fine. This is your window. I mean, you took a team that went to the Eastern Conference Finals without your two quote unquote biggest stars.
Not quote unquote, your two biggest stars.
Well, I mean, you could say Horford was an all-star last year. But you did it without your two highest priced. I don't even know what or from it, whatever the situation is. They're all. But you do that, and you don't win the East.
Yeah, Horford. I think is in the final year of his deal.
This is supposed to be the year. This is supposed to be the team, and if everyone's healthy, then you got to win the East.
Well,
anything else is a huge disappointment.
Here's the scariest thing about all of it, and it's what you alluded to at the very beginning, is yesterday during the game, even the people in Brooklyn were cheering something that, as a Celtics fan, unfortunately, it might sting a little bit because maybe there's some truth to it.
Daniel Theis, second-year pro from Germany.
That is the crowd chanting, Kyrie's leaving. And you have to wonder if this season ends in disaster. No matter what he said at the beginning of the year, he didn't sign a contract. He can go anywhere he wants to. And right now, he's a guy that if you want to have any kind of relevance, you need to have Kyrie Irving on your team. And I think that out of all the things, all the reasons to get your crap together, it's to keep him around. It's to get him to sign an extension, have him be here for a while, and then hopefully he'll be able to find some guys. And hopefully it's this crew that he can iron things out and they can play as well as they can when they're all in and no one is loafing, which we've seen so many times this season.
There's still time to fix this.
Of course there's
38 games left in the regular season. If I did my addition right, I may be off by a game or two. But there's still a long way to go. But you've held your team meeting. You know, players have pointed the fingers at each other. And the inconsistency, not just inconsistency, wild inconsistency, is still there, and you're sinking further and further behind in the standings. You're 7 games out of first place. I think you're 2. And you just lost to the 2 teams right behind you in the standings, in Miami and Brooklyn. So I don't know what needs to be done, but if the Celtics are going to make a move, either on the court or by making a trade, it's going to have to happen soon.
Yeah. I mean, this is, if you're going to do something, this is now the time to do it. And this isn't even a move like Anthony Davis. This is a move that you got to figure something out.
In the locker room, something has to be said or some button has to be pushed. I mean, soon, within the next month, within the next couple of weeks.
Dan just said this is the Red Sox trading Nomar.
Yeah. It's a possibility, although, you know, the fatal flaw of that team was defense, and Theo went out and addressed it. I'm not sure what the fatal flaw is of this team. Because they don't have an identity I can point at and go, okay, they're this, but they can't do that.
It's chemistry.
Well, I mean, that's not something that you've... I mean, how do you diagnose that and fix it?
Well, you could find out who is the source of such bad chemistry.
Well, people are upset at Kyrie. Do you trade him?
No, you don't trade
him. I mean, that's what I'm saying. If the problem is the so-called leader of your team, this is the guy you want to stay, you can't trade him.
And by the way, I don't think the players are upset with Kyrie. I think that people like me and in the media are like, okay, maybe that's not... I haven't heard anyone speak out against Kyrie.
If I'm Gordon Hayward, I'm not overly excited about Kyrie Irving.
And that was the first time that I thought that. That was after he did that, I'm like, what are you doing, man? That's a veteran right there.
Well, apparently, Gordon he passed the ball to Tatum, and then Kyrie went out on an inbounds play. He gave the ball to Tatum. And Kyrie went nuts on him. It was what I've read in the Daily News and the Post.
Look, Jaylen Brown said after the game, you have to have each other's backs. You can't be pointing fingers. This is after the game last night. And you read a little into that. That seems like a small shot at Kyrie, who was pointing fingers last weekend.
So it is interesting, the dysfunction.
Well, at least they have an easy team that they can beat up on and get back on track next with the Toronto Raptors.
Yep.
And you know what? It'll probably be a great game.
Well,
it'll
the game's at
amazing.
Home, so you got to automatically give them a better chance.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we will find out more about that. Jake DeBrusk, who was admonished by his coach after the game yesterday, will be joining us.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help MA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at Awaken180WeightLoss.com.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.